some significant changes are coming to Congress after the midterm elections and the upcoming lame duck session. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced last week that she will not seek re-election to her leadership role in the Democratic Party, but she will remain in office as a U.S. representative.
And with great confidence in our caucus, I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress. For me, the hour has come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus that I so deeply respect. And I'm grateful that so many are ready and willing to shoulder this awesome responsibility.
Republicans will take majority control of the House next year. Current Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy was challenged in his own party by Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona. In the Senate, Democrats maintain control with Majority Leader Chuck Schumer at the helm. Republican Minority Leader Mitch McConnell faced a challenge from within his own party. We're looking at the future of Congress, its leadership amid divided government, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you hoping to see from Congress in the next session? Are you worried about gridlock with a split House and Senate? Are you hopeful for some kind of agreement on key issues? If so, which ones? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Ruth Block Rubin is an assistant professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of Chicago and author of the book Building the Block, Intra-Party Organization in the U.S. Congress. Ruth, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start by looking at the leadership in Congress. A big change for House Democrats, a big generational change with Speaker Pelosi and other top Democratic officials. Were you surprised to see this coming?
Well, I think it's only been a matter of time. There was certainly pressure within the party to turn things over to a new generation. I think it's hard to imagine the Democratic caucus without someone with Pelosi's experience at the helm.
Can you talk a little bit about the Nancy Pelosi era as a House Speaker or House Minority Leader, depending on the circumstances at the time? This is a decent chunk of American political history here.
Yeah, it's an incredible period of time. And she's been one of the longest serving speakers in all of House history. And certainly in recent memory, it's been an incredibly productive time legislatively. Pelosi's responsible for shepherding through some of the biggest legislative landmarks of the past 30 years. Perhaps the Affordable Care Act is one of the crowning achievements, but even recent COVID legislation would not have passed without her help. But at the same time, we've seen someone who's shown an incredible mastery at managing a quite divided caucus. I think Democratic leaders are going to have their hands full managing moderate Democrats and progressive Democrats as ably as Pelosi has managed over the years.
And then Hakeem Jeffries of New York, expected to be the replacement now as House Minority Leader, would be the first Black leader of the Democratic Party in Congress. So how significant would that be?
I think incredibly significant. I mean, the Democrats have shown they're a caucus of change, and the party's leadership has reflected that, which I think is intentional. The best way to demonstrate progress is to show that in your leadership, and they've done that.
On the Republican side of things now, Republicans will be taking a narrow majority in the House next year. Kevin McCarthy, currently the leader of the party in the minority, got support from the bulk of his caucus, it looks like, but there could be some rocky roads ahead. What are you watching for there?
Well, I think his bid for speakership on the floor will be quite interesting, but then legislating, if he's, I suppose one could say, lucky enough to become speaker, being able to manage such a narrow majority is difficult in the best of circumstances. And not only does he have an organized right wing in the House Freedom Caucus, but the party's remaining moderates have suggested that now's the time for them to start flexing their muscles. And that's not going to be an easy dynamic to manage. I mean, in some ways, Pelosi offers a good model for how to do that. Whether McCarthy is able to follow her lead will be an entirely different thing.
We are talking about the new look for Congress coming up next year. In a bit, we'll look at what divided government is going to mean in terms of legislation, investigations, confirmations, and more. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you hope to see from the next Congress? Or is there something that worries you? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Finally, on the Senate side of things, Ruth, Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell, again, trade spaces, or no, they hold their spaces, I should say. Chuck Schumer remains the majority leader for Democrats. Mitch McConnell holds his position, leading a large minority in the party. Mitch McConnell faced a challenge, at least from Rick Scott in Florida. It was slapped down, but 10, I think, of his colleagues voted against McConnell. Was that significant? A significant protest against McConnell's leadership?
Well, I think any vote against McConnell has to be considered somewhat significant given the level of control he's exercised. But do I think he's sleeping fine at night? I would think so.
Now let's get into what actually happens in Congress with divided government. First of all, legislation. Do you expect to see much? It doesn't seem like there's a lot of prospect for bipartisan cooperation. Do you see some?
Well, one never really knows, and so that's always the an important hedge. But I don't think that what we've seen or what has been said about what House Republicans' ambitions are would lead us to think that they are interested in a positive legislative agenda. If anything, I think we might imagine they'll be spending quite a bit of their time investigating the president and members of the executive branch. And, you know, in some ways, that's not necessarily problematic mm-hmm. for Democrats if part of the goal here is, you know, to show what Republican solutions are. If there aren't any, then that's an opportunity for Democrats too.
Right. Republicans have signaled that there will be some investigations in the House related to Hunter Biden, President Biden's son, and allegations of influence peddling over the years that President Biden was Vice President Biden. Do you think that'll be front and center, or do you think you'll see Republicans talk about inflation and crime and the other issues they ran on this year?
It's certainly possible that there'll be a lot of talk about those issues. Whether there will be substantive legislative solutions is a different question. As to the Hunter Biden potential investigations, I think it's likely that we'll see some of that. But whether that will be politically problematic for them, as Democrats had concerns even about impeachment investigations, investigations aren't always a win-win for the investigating party.
One tool Republicans have in Congress to try to actually advance legislation or block spending and things like that would be the debt ceiling and the possibility of saying, hey, if you want us to pass a debt ceiling increase, here are some changes we need. How much leverage do you see that giving Republicans?
Well, I think it will certainly create a conflict within the Republican conference over whether this is the right lever to extract concessions from Democrats. And for that reason, one might suspect that in the lame duck session, there'll be some efforts to try and circumvent that as a possibility. But I think this is where the tight majorities are really going to matter for McCarthy. You'd imagine that there are some moderate Republicans who really don't want to see the debt ceiling used as a hostage. And so there may be pressure not to use it in that way. Who will win out is, again, anyone's guess.
We're taking a preview of what's next in Congress after the midterm elections with University of Chicago political science professor Ruth Block Rubin. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about the lame duck session, the time that remains between now and when the newly elected Congress is sworn in? What would you like to see this Congress accomplish on its way out? What do you want to see happen now with Democrats keeping close control of the Senate, Republicans taking a narrow majority in the House? Is there something you want them to cooperate on that you think they could cooperate on? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with University of Chicago political science professor Ruth Block Rubin. With us today, looking at what's in store for the next Congress and what's left of the current one. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you hoping to see, if anything, Democrats get done before they lose control of the House in January? What do you want to see happen in the so-called lame duck session? And for 2023, are you glad to see divided government? Do you see an upside there? Do you see room for compromise and cooperation? Are there things you're hoping one party or another does with its control of a chamber of Congress? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Ruth, you mentioned that lame duck session and possible action by Democrats to prevent the debt ceiling and spending bills being used to as a negotiating tool for Republicans. What kind of things might they be able to do over the next month and a half or so?
Well, it isn't a lot of time to legislate, but and Speaker Boehner did this before he exited, is essentially clearing out the barn. And so perhaps the debt ceiling is the biggest on the to-do list, which is essentially to remove all of the things that are likely to be impediments, and that in this moment in time, you could get some compromise. So I'd imagine that this would be the issue Democrats and Republicans would be most anxious to resolve.
Are there any other pieces of on the legislative agenda that you're watching for over the next month or so?
I think realistically, it's hard to imagine what will get passed until there's greater clarity on who is likely to be leader. People may be more willing to negotiate if they have a sense of who's going to be speaker.
One more thing that came out of this election is Democrats keep control of the Senate, which means that they keep control of the confirmation process for a lot of judge appointments, cabinet appointments, and others if things should open up. Could you tell us what that means in terms of President Biden's ability to advance his agenda in those arenas?
Well, I think that this will be full steam ahead on confirmations and stocking open places on the federal bench for nominees that are favorable to Democrats. This is something that Minority Leader Mitch McConnell showed was an incredibly valuable way to affect policy change. And it is one that does not require control over the House. So I can only imagine that the Biden administration is mustering their resources and getting ready to collaborate extensively with the Senate to turn the crank.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Bart is with us in Rhinelander. Bart, hi.
Hey, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
To you too. What did you want to bring up?
You know, it's just a lot of people have mixed emotions, feelings about, you know, voting. And I empathize. But like I was telling your colleague, all right, you know, it goes back to basically what we learned during the L.A. riots. When Rodney King said out nicely, can't we just all get along? Now that we are basically struggling as a nation for resources and all that, I think right out, this is the year we need to actually put, you know, our differences of politics all aside and get back to what we need.
Bart, thanks for the call. Ruth, do you see any prospects for Democrats and Republicans to get along and get things done in Congress?
Well, perhaps the best opportunity for bipartisan accord is now. Pelosi and McCarthy have a famously difficult relationship, and so perhaps having new Democratic leadership will allow for an opportunity to extend the olive branch, or at least to be on speaking terms with leaders of both parties. And that's where opportunities for collaboration do exist. And so to the extent that one is more optimistic after a leadership change, this would certainly be one of those moments.
Thanks a lot for that call, Bart. Ruth, I got to say, one of the happiest faces I've ever seen in the news is Speaker John Boehner moments after he announced he was resigning as being House Speaker. Can you talk about the challenge of that job?
It's an incredibly difficult position. Not only do you have to have an incredible knowledge of House procedure to schedule legislation to ensure that it moves through at the pace that it does, but a substantive knowledge, you also have to know your members incredibly well. And the House is a big place. So you need to know what motivates members, what their constituency needs are. You need to be able to keep all of that together. You need to be a good manager of the different people who are working for you, your whips, your deputies, and you need to keep everybody on the same page moving together. And that is very difficult. And Nancy Pelosi has made it look incredibly easy. But I think, as we'll see, it is not so easy to manage either the Democratic caucus or the Republican conference, either in the majority or in the minority.
One question I keep wondering about, Ruth, over the years is earmarks. So, you know, where, hey, if you vote for this, you get a museum in your district or some road repairs or whatever. They were once really common. They kind of became a dirty word, got banned. I think they're starting to make an appearance again. Is that something that can grease the wheel to either help one manage one's own party or to, you know, buy a little bipartisan confirmation from the other?
Yeah, I mean, I think earmarks get a bad rap, but they are a way to make sure that people are compensated for the votes that they're taking, even when they're difficult for them or their constituents. And so in that way, we can see it as not so much a quid pro quo, but a recognition that policymaking has to happen on a variety of different dimensions. And you're asking different kinds of people to make different kinds of sacrifices. Republicans had famously tied their hands and refused to use earmarks for a while. And I don't think that made their legislating life all that easy. Democrats have been more open to them. And I think we've seen their legislative success is in part a part of having a wider array of tools to keep the caucus together and to gather the votes that you need.
The way our district lines are drawn in the United States, a lot of safe seats are there in the House in particular. Do members of Congress have more fear from losing a seat to a primary challenge if they're too willing to compromise with the other side than, you know, actually losing it to the other party?
I mean, I think when you talk to members, you get the sense that they're scared of everything. And so it's hard to know what exactly the deeper fear is. But certainly the primary being fear of being primary today, even if you're in a very safe seat, is a real one and has changed the dynamics for when leaders are pressuring members to make a vote. It used to be that if you were from a safe seat, you knew and the leadership knew that you could take the hit. And it's harder to do that today because every member has a story they can tell their leadership about how this might be the vote on which they're primaried.
Ruth, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ruth Block Rubin is an assistant professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of Chicago, authored the book Building the Block, Intraparty Organization in the U.S. Congress. She joined us for a preview of the Congress of 2023 with divided control, Republicans having a narrow majority in the House, Democrats same in the Senate.